Let's turn in our Bibles, if you would, to the book of Matthew, chapter number 6. Matthew, chapter 6. I told you on Sunday that we would begin a short series leading up to our fall prayer meeting. Instead of a fall Bible conference this year, we're going to be having a fall prayer meeting towards the end of October. And the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday evening, we're going to be spending some very special dedicated time in prayer. I hope you're planning to be with us during that time as we focus as a church on some prayer needs. And one of the things that I'm going to be challenging us as a church to do during that time or concurrent with that is a challenge concerning spending some time in fasting as well. And so I want to speak tonight about the doctrine of fasting. I'll probably speak some more about that next week and then some the following week about prayer as a church. Because I believe that it's important that we deal with these matters as we go into our fall meeting. And I'll be honest with you, I'm excited. We've never done anything like this, a multiple day prayer meeting. And I'm excited about what the Lord's going to do in our church and in our hearts in preparation. And I'm excited about some of the things that God is bringing together. And we'll have those nights organized, really looking forward to that focus, those three special nights. Matthew chapter 6 tonight. I want you to look in verse 16, 17, and 18. And this evening we want to have a focus on fasting. The Lord Jesus speaking said, "Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our Father, we need your wisdom and your help. And Father, I believe that there are some things that you want to teach us as a church. I know there's some things you want to teach me as a pastor about the importance of fasting and prayer. And Lord, I pray that you would help our hearts to be open and eager for the truth that you have in store for us. And Lord, I pray that you would use these next couple of weeks to lead us as a church into deeper communion with God. And Lord, being willing to humble ourselves in this area of fasting. Lord, have your will and your way. Speak to our hearts tonight and challenge us from your word. And we ask these things in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Tonight, as we speak about fasting, I think it's important for you and I to understand that the doctrine of fasting is an important doctrine. It's found all through the Bible, in the Old Testament, the New Testament. We'll see some examples of that all through the scriptures. And yet, despite the fact that fasting is an important doctrine, it is a doctrine which is rarely talked about and rarely practiced by God's people. And I believe that's a shame because I think the Lord has something very special that he wants to do in our lives as we obey him in this area of fasting. So tonight, and I think next week as well, we want to emphasize the importance of this doctrine of fasting, and we want to challenge ourselves as a church in this very important pursuit. Now, we want to deal, first of all, with the precedent in the Bible for fasting. And I want you to note in the text which we've chosen this evening that Jesus in verse 16 says, "Moreover, when ye fast." Did you notice that Jesus did not say, "If you fast"? Jesus did not say, "Don't bother fasting, it's not important." Jesus said, "Moreover, when ye fast." So it's as if Jesus has the expectation that his disciples are going to be involved in fasting, that they are going to take opportunities to fast. Now, if we go to our Bibles, and I'm just going to mention some of these along with the passages where they're found, but we find multiple examples. I'm not going to name all of them tonight, but I'm going to hit some highlights. For instance, in Exodus chapter 34 and verse number 28, we find that Moses went back to the mountain for the second time to receive the law again. Remember, he had broken the tablets the first time he came down from the mountain, went back up to the mountain to receive the law from God again. And the Bible tells us that for 40 days, Moses fasted. Now, that was a supernatural fast because actually it says that he did not eat or drink for 40 days. And I think most of us understand you can't survive 40 days without drinking. That's impossible. That was a very special encounter that Moses had with God. He met with God in his presence and he came down. His face was shining and the people were frightened because he had been in the presence of God. But as he was receiving the law for Israel from Jehovah, Moses was fasting. We find in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, that when Nehemiah found out about how terrible the situation was in the city of Jerusalem, Nehemiah was struck with great grief and he began to fast. The Bible doesn't tell us how long he fasted, but he sat and he fasted because of his extreme grief over what he had heard about Jerusalem and the people of God. It affected him so. So one of the reasons that we might fast would be because of grief, because of sorrow, and generally sorrow over sin. How about in the New Testament, in Acts chapter 13, we find that the church at Antioch, when they were getting ready to choose some men to go out, the Bible says that they fasted and they were serving the Lord. And it was in that the Holy Spirit spoke to the church at Antioch and told them, separate Saul and Barnabas for the work whereunto I've called them. And then the Bible says that the church fasted even more as they were in the preparation of sending them. As they were getting ready to send them to the work, they fasted and they prayed as a church. Now, that's significant because in this case, it's not an individual fast, but it's a church fast. And it's very specific. It's regarding the will of God, trying to find the will of God, and seeing then that God revealed his will in sending those men to the work they were involved in fasting. Back to the Old Testament in Jonah chapter 3, we find that when the inhabitants of the city of Nineveh heard the message that Jonah preached to them, that the king of Nineveh made a decree that they would put on sackcloth and ashes and that they would fast. And they begin to mourn over their sin and cry out to God. And you remember that the result of that was that God said, I have heard their prayer and I'm not going to send judgment now. I'm going to stay the judgment that I had promised that was going to come upon that city. And there was a space of time that was given to the city of Nineveh because of their fasting and their prayer. In this case, they fasted because of their sorrow over sin, because they wanted to repent and be right with God. How about King David in 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse number 16, when he heard from Nathan the prophet about his sin? Remember how he had sinned with Bathsheba. And Nathan the prophet said, the child that you and Bathsheba conceived is going to die. And David began to fast and pray. He went into the presence of God. He was fasting and praying. And he did that until he heard that the child had passed away. And then he stopped. And of course, they came to him and they said, you know, you're not fasting. You're not grieving. You were praying. And David said, he is not going to come back to me, but I shall go to him. And that's a very profound statement, by the way, of his expectation of seeing that child again. And of course, that situation was very sad because of David's sin. There was judgment that came upon his family. How about in Daniel chapter 9 and verse number 3, Daniel was going to receive a revelation from the Lord. And the Bible says that he began to fast and to pray. We're going to look at Daniel chapter 9, verse 3 a little bit later, just making reference to it right now. But he fasted and prayed because he wanted to hear from God. And of course, Daniel chapter 9, from chapter 9 and the next several chapters, is one of the most astounding revelations which was given to an Old Testament prophet and has everything to do with the book of Revelation and end times prophecy. But that came about as the result of Daniel fasting and seeking the face of God. in the book of Esther, chapter 4 and verse 16. Remember that Esther was going to go before the king, and she was going to talk to the king about what Haman was going to do, and she was going to plead for her people. She was the queen, but she was afraid of what was going to happen. And she sent word through Mordecai. She said, tell the Jews that they need to fast for 3 days. They need to fast and pray that so that the God of heaven will hear our prayer and so that he'll have favor upon us. And that's what the people did. The Jewish people as a whole fasted for those days as they waited for Esther to go in. And of course, we know that the king heard her request and Haman's plot was foiled and the Jews were rescued and God got the glory. How about Jesus himself? In Matthew chapter 4, the Bible tells us that Jesus fasted for 40 days. Before he began his public ministry, he fasted for 40 days. And I recognize that 40 days is a long time to do a fast. It is possible, by the way, medically and physically, it's possible, but it is a difficult thing. And we'll talk a little bit more about some of the practicality of that. But Jesus fasted for 40 days, and we see then right after that that he was tempted by Satan and was victorious in that. We could go on and on tonight. We could go all through the Old Testament, the New Testament. We'd find that fasts were conducted by individuals. Fasts were conducted by nations. Fasts were conducted by churches, groups of people together. And I want you to see in the scriptures that it is not something rare that people would fast. The Jewish people actually had yearly calendar fasts that they observed every single year. The churches regularly fasted. We read in the book of Acts and we regularly see them fasting and praying. We see that the Apostle Paul, in speaking about some of the rigors or the difficulties of ministry, he said in fastings often. So he was often fasting and praying. And I've already pointed out in our text here in Matthew 6 that Jesus said, when ye fast, denoting that Jesus must expect us to fast. He must expect that God's people will be involved in fasting. Now, let's answer the question tonight, what is fasting? And if we study the bulk of Scripture, we'll find that fasting is particularly used to speak about abstaining from food for a certain period of time so that someone can seek after God. And this is very particular. It is abstaining from food, obviously for a certain period of time, because none of us can do that indefinitely, in order to seek God. And that's an important addendum, in order to seek God. Now, there could be, and I'm just going to throw this out there, there's some really interesting research that has come out in the last few years about the importance and the value of fasting for all kinds of medical issues. But we're not primarily talking about fasting for medical issues or for health. Although we would say that there is a whole body of research that says fasting is actually really good for most people. It's a good thing. However, that's not what our emphasis is. Our emphasis is on the spiritual. So there was for a long time a school of thought that said, you know, fasting is really damaging to your body. It's really hurtful to your body. And if you do that, it's really going to hurt your body. But, you know, the interesting thing is that whatever the result would be, it does seem that God expects us to fast, doesn't he? He expects us. And we're going to talk about why that is in just a moment. I do want to say also, I think there's room for us to fast from other things besides food. There's room for us, for instance, to fast from entertainment, from social media, from recreation. However, the primary biblical implication when it speaks about fasting is fasting from food. And I think there's a very good reason for that. So that is the precedent for fasting. But now let's ask the question, what is the purpose for fasting? Why would we be involved in fasting? Is it just because we want to torture ourselves? Because do any of you not like food? I mean, I like food a lot, actually. I enjoy eating. I like all kinds of different foods. In fact, most of my day is structured around what meal is coming up next and can I have a snack in between, right? I like to consume food. Probably many of you are the same way. Our lives really revolve around food. food. So we would say, what is the purpose for fasting? Why does the Bible talk about fasting? And why would it be important for me? Now, I do want to point out here in our text, before we go from here, and we're going to go look at a number of verses in just a moment, that Jesus is making an emphasis that we should fast, but we should be very careful about the purpose of our fast. Because he says, and this is really the implication, and in the context, he says we should be careful how we give, and we should be careful how we pray, and we should be careful how we fast. And we should check our motivation. Make sure that our purpose is the right purpose. And in this case, the wrong purpose is to be seen of men. The wrong purpose is so that other people will look at you and say, oh, wow, what a holy person. You know, they fast. No, that's not the purpose. So let's talk about what the purpose is. There are several purposes which are revealed in Scripture. Let's turn first to Daniel chapter 9. And here I'm going to ask you to turn to a number of verses because I think it'll be helpful for you. Daniel chapter 9. Verses 1 through 3. I'm not going to read verses 1 and 2. All right? Let's just read verse 3 for sake of time. This is Daniel. I made reference to this just a moment ago, but I want you to see something about his purpose in fasting. Daniel says, I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And then he begins to pray. So the very first purpose for fasting is this, to seek God in prayer. The primary purpose for fasting is so that I might seek God in prayer. So what we find in Scripture is that fasting and prayer are always put together. They're always joined together. So one of the reasons that I want to be involved in fasting is because this does something special for my prayer life. And here Daniel is really wanting to seek after God in prayer. And he said he was going to seek God in prayer with fasting and the sackcloth and ashes. And we'll talk about the significance of that a little bit further down. But one primary purpose for fasting is, you know, I want to grow in my prayer life. I want to be a better prayer. I want to spend time with God. And so I am going to fast and pray. All right. The two go together. A second reason that we might fast, and I believe these often go together. All these, I have six reasons here. They go together. Let's turn to Psalm 35. A second reason why we would fast. And I'm going to park here for just a few minutes. Psalm 35, verse number 13. This is a psalm of David. It's a very curious wording that is used here in this verse. He says, but as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting and my prayer returned into mine own bosom. And I want you to focus on that phrase. I humbled my soul with fasting. A second reason that we should fast, the second purpose for fasting is to humble ourselves. It's humbling to fast. And you say, why would it be humbling to fast? I'm telling you, when's the last time you fasted? When you start to fast, you begin to realize how weak your flesh is. I'm telling you, because you determine I'm going to fast and breakfast time rolls around and your body starts screaming at you and you think you're going to die. And you power through it and you get to lunchtime and your body really starts to die and you think you're not going to make it. And then if you make it that far and you get to dinner, and this is just the first day, then you get to dinner and you start smelling the food that other people are eating and your body is just screaming and you're like, oh, I gotta eat. You start to realize, man, my flesh is really powerful. One thing that I've observed with fasting is that you begin to realize how much we are ruled by our appetites. And it's humbling because you say, I'm so weak. Why am I struggling so much with this? Why am I having such a hard time? And it doesn't seem like it's that. I mean, unless you have a medical condition, you can go without food for a pretty long time without doing any sort of harm to your body. You see, so it's just your body is actually, again, unless you have a medical condition, we'll cover that in a little bit. But unless you have a medical condition, your body's just lying to you. Your body is just, you're so used to doing things that way. And so it's really humbling because you start to realize how weak you are and how difficult it is to tell your flesh no. And it hurts. It actually hurts to fast. And so it's something that humbles us. And in this case, David said he humbled his soul with fasting. He went without something that is ordinarily something that we need, something that we require. And he said, I'm willing to pray. Now, in this case, he's praying for his enemies. He's praying for people that don't like him. And he said, you know, they hate me, but when they're sick, my soul is afflicted with fasting. I'm praying for them and I'm before the face of God for their behalf. So a second purpose for fasting is to humble oneself. By the way, that's why many people do not engage in fasting. Because it's hard and because it humbles our soul. Third of all, a third reason that we might fast is to confess sin. And I want you to turn now to Nehemiah chapter 9. Nehemiah chapter 9. And I'm primarily trying to just let the scriptures speak tonight because I don't want to build a case that's unscriptural, but I want you to see that it's important that we fast. By the way, I've never preached a message on fasting. And I don't know if I ever remember hearing an entire message on fasting. And yet this is an important doctrine that's in the scriptures. Amen. Numbers chapter, Nehemiah chapter 9. Verse 1 and 2. Now in the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting and with sackcloths and earth upon them. And the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. So what is going on here? Well, they've sinned against God. They've disobeyed the command of God and they've done some things which are against God's directions for them. And they've been alerted to it. And the way that they were alerted to it was that the word of God was read. And they heard the law and they realized we've sinned against God. And so they proclaimed a fast. They went without food and they began to pray before God. But here's what they're praying about. They begin to confess their sin. They begin to say to God, you know, we've not been behaving the way that we ought to behave. We've been doing the wrong things and they're enumerating their sins before God. So one reason that we fast is so that we might confess our sin. So that we might go before the face of God and recognize that we are not all that we ought to be. When's the last time that you were humbled before God to say, Father, forgive me. I'm not doing the things that I ought to. I'm not living the way that I ought to live. I'm not being the kind of person that I ought to be. See, this ought to be an important part of our lives. So we fast in order to confess sin. I won't go back to Daniel chapter 9. We were just there in Daniel chapter 9 and verse 3. But a fourth reason that we might fast is to plead with God. Perhaps there is some request that is on our heart that we want to bring before the Lord and we want to plead with Him. We want to earnestly get before the throne of God and cry out to Him about that. And in that case, in Daniel 9:3, it says that he was seeking by prayer and supplications with fasting. What he was looking for, he needed an answer from God. He needed to know something from God. He needed to hear from God. And so he's getting on his face and he's abstaining from food and he's going to pray until the answer comes. By the way, the struggle there in prayer in Daniel 9, which is described. And we don't have time to go back there and go through the whole passage. But there's a great struggle which takes place in Daniel as he's praying. And it's revealed later that the reason for that struggle is because as he was praying, there was a great spiritual warfare that was going on. There was a battle in the angelic realms that was going on as Daniel was praying. It's very interesting to read about. And so Daniel is, he's pleading with God. Have you ever had a prayer request that was just so burdensome on your heart and you so much wanted God to answer that prayer that you felt compelled to not eat, not spend that time having food because you wanted to spend that time on your face before God and praying? That's exactly a purpose for fasting. That's one reason that we should fast and pray. A fifth reason, and turn to Acts chapter 13 for this one. A fifth reason that we might fast is so that we could understand God's will. Have you ever been puzzling over God's will? Unsure about God's will in a certain situation? Here's the situation in Acts 13. There were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, Manian, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, so what you're going to find is that fasting was a part of the regular rhythm of ministry in the book of Acts. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I've called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Now, here you have in this church a number of good, godly men who God is using for the work of the ministry. And yet God is going to separate out two of these men to send them for a special work. It's not that the rest of those men weren't good men. It's not that the rest of those men were unworthy men, that somehow they couldn't have done that work. But God had two men that he wanted to choose. And how did they find the will of God? Well, it was as they were fasting. As they were fasting and serving together, the Holy Spirit spoke to them and revealed the will of God. I believe that fasting is a legitimate way for us to seek after an understanding of God's will. If you're confused about God's will and you're not sure what God's will is, and you've searched the scriptures and you've looked at the principles and you still, it still feels like, you know, I've got three equal choices and all three of them are scriptural and I'm just not sure what God's will is in this situation. You know, it is appropriate to fast and to seek God's face. Finally, let's turn to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. And verse 20 and 21. And I'm going to read this and then I want to make some comments about this. Jesus said unto them, "Because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting." A sixth reason that we should be involved in fasting is to avail ourselves of the power of God. Jesus said that there is a unique access to the power of God that is available to those who pray and fast. Now, there's two sides of this. I don't want to oversell this and make it like if you fast, then you're going to see lightning bolts come from the sky and there's going to be all kinds of weird stuff happen. I don't want you to get a wrong impression. All right. Some people, and we're going to talk about some of the problems with fasting in a minute, but some people just have a wrong view of fasting. But I also don't want you to sell it short. I don't want you to think that you could just neglect fasting and have the same access to the power of God. Because God says, Jesus Christ himself said, there are things in our Christian life that require prayer and fasting. I don't know any other way to put that. I don't know how to get around that. I don't know how to say, well, you can probably just avoid fasting. You know, it's not that important for this generation. No, I think that Jesus is being really clear that we need to learn how to fast if we want to see the power of God. And so there's a great purpose for fasting. I don't know about you, but I want to see the power of God at work in my life and ministry. I want to see the power of God at work through our church. I want to see the power of God manifested upon our missionaries that are sent out of this church. I want to see the power of God upon my own personal life. I want to see other people being touched by the power of God. And it does seem very clear to me that Jesus says there are some things that are just not possible without fasting and prayer. All right, so that's the purpose for fasting. Maybe you could come up with some other ones. Let me give you some pointers for fasting. And turn back to our text where we started in Matthew chapter 6. We're close by there. Jesus was making a very important point in Matthew chapter 6 that we should be careful about our fasting, that we don't fast in order to be seen of men. And there's some things that we have to watch out for, and we'll get to those in just a moment. Here's some practical pointers that I want to give to you. You might want to just jot some of these things down if you're taking notes. First of all, if you're going to fast, you should prepare yourself for fasting. It's generally not a good idea to wake up one morning and say, I think I'm going to fast for 5 days. It doesn't usually work out. You're going to have to make some preparations. For instance, you're going to need to ask yourself some questions. What kind of a fast is it going to be? There's different kinds of fasts that we can do. And I'm speaking about fasting from food. For instance, is it going to be a water fast? If it's going to be a fast using only water, that's a significantly more difficult kind of a fast. That's going to require some extra preparation and may require a conversation with your medical doctor to make sure that you're in a condition to be able to do that. There's other kinds of fasts that you could be involved in. One that's really popular in the nutritional health circle is a bone broth fast. And you're not going to eat meals, but you're going to consume bone broth, which has some good minerals and vitamins and things that are important for your body. But you're going to find that it's still very challenging. It's going to challenge you, but it's still going to provide some of the nutrients that your body needs. Some people will do a juice fast. And so they're going to fast, but they're only going to hand press their own juices. That's a lot of work, all right? If you're going to do that sort of a fast, you're going to have to go to the store and you're going to have to come home with your trunk full of produce that you're going to go through in a very short amount of time making juice, all right? And there's nothing wrong with that kind of a fast, but you're going to have to think about it. You're going to have to prepare yourself and make sure that you answer the question, all right, what kind of a fast is it going to be? Second question, how long am I going to fast? Are you going to fast one day? Are you going to fast from... by the way, all of these are appropriate or biblical or fine. Are you going to fast for a meal? Are you going to fast for a day? Are you going to fast for 3 days? This is getting harder as we go on. Are you going to fast for 5 days? Are you going to fast for 7 days? Some people will fast for as much as 40 days. All right. That would be very unusual. Most people are not going to fast for that long. But you're going to ask yourself the question, how long am I going to fast? Then you're going to ask yourself, do I have the things that I need for my fast? All right. The last thing that you want is to realize, oh, I don't have that juice or the fruit or the vegetables to make that juice, because you're going to be sorely tempted to break your fast early. And you don't want to give yourself any reasons to do that. All right. You have a purpose in this. Can I say this? If you're going to fast, if you're going to abstain from food, hydration is very, very important physically. So you're going to have to think about how to properly hydrate your body and make sure that you don't do damage to your body. Here's another question in your preparation. Do the people that are close to you know what you are doing and why? Now, Jesus did say in verse 16, 17 and 18 that we should be careful not to announce this to everyone. However, you probably want to tell your spouse that you're getting ready to go through a fast. Otherwise, you know, husband, you're just going to all of a sudden stop eating her food. And she's going to say, what's wrong with you? What did I do? Why aren't you eating the meals that I'm preparing for you? See, you know, you need to let those who are close to you know. Maybe you have some people that you work closely with and you're accustomed to going to lunch with them and those sorts. So you need to give an explanation and say, look, this is what's going on in my life. I've set some time aside to seek God and to pray and I'm fasting along with that. So it's appropriate to let some people know. We just have to check our motivation. It's not that it's wrong for anybody to know that we're fasting. It's wrong if our purpose is so that everybody knows. So, you know, we don't have to get an email, get on the email list or post it on Facebook. Just want everybody to know how hard it is. I'm fasting right now. All right. That's probably not the purpose. So prepare yourself for your fasting. Second of all, you should have a specific spiritual purpose for your fast. So there should be something that you are wanting from God. There should be something that you are after. Maybe in your life, you've recognized that there's a pattern of sin that is very difficult, a stronghold of sin, and you long to see God break that in your life. And so your specific purpose, your goal is going to be, God, I want you to give me victory over this sin during this time of fasting. There are people who fast for that reason. Maybe you've got a prayer request that is heavy on your heart, someone that you're concerned about, that you want to pray about, and you want to be bringing them before the Lord. And so your purpose is going to be, you know, I'm fasting, and primarily I'm going to be praying for this need, for this individual. Maybe there's a decision that you need to make, an area of the will of God that you're confused about, and you're going to fast so that you can figure out, okay, I need to know what God's will is. I want to hear from God. So you're going to have a specific spiritual purpose. And the reason for that is if you don't have a specific spiritual purpose, you're going to have a hard time keeping your fast going. Because it is going to get very, very difficult. We're told about days 2 and 4 is where it gets really challenging. And if you go beyond that, it gets a little bit easier because your body starts to quiet down with some of its crying out. But most of us aren't going to do fast much longer than that. All right. Just the reality of how we live and the pattern of our life. It is very difficult if you have children, for instance, to try to do a very long fast because, you know, think about this. You're a mom. You're making meals. You got to keep feeding your family. In the midst of all this, you know, it's going to be challenging for you. And so, you know, but this is part of it. We're challenging our flesh, aren't we? So have a specific spiritual purpose and reserve the time that you would normally be eating for fellowshipping with God. So the whole purpose is to have more time dedicated to seeking after God. If you're just going to fast so that you can spend more time at work or so that you can watch more TV or stay up later and do stuff on the internet, that's not a spiritual purpose. That's not going to help you. So you want to reserve that time and say, okay, during this time, I'm going to be spending time with God. I'm going to be fellowshipping with God. Healthy portions of prayer and scripture should replace your food intake. So instead of physical food, you're going to be replacing that with spiritual food. You're going to be spending time in the Word of God. You're going to find that there's a close fellowship between the scripture and prayer. And so you're going to be wanting to spend time with the Lord in prayer and maybe even prepare ahead of time by what passages you're going to be spending time in and how you're going to structure your prayer time. But then you're also going to have some specific prayer points to focus on. You're going to want to have some specific things that you're praying about. OK, here's my purpose. Here's what I'm after. And here's some very specific things. Try to make those as scriptural as you can. Use the scriptures informing how you're going to pray. So have a specific spiritual purpose for your fast. Now, I will say this. There's nothing wrong with doing a fast for health reasons. But a health fast is different from a spiritual fast. you can get health benefits from a spiritual fast, but you won't necessarily get spiritual benefits from a health fast. Does that make sense to you? But there's nothing wrong with maybe you're having some health problems, and there's lots of doctors actually that have started recommending, you know, try fasting, and there's a lot of value that can come from that. But I'm just saying that we need to differentiate between the two and say, okay, this is a spiritual fast. This is going to have a spiritual focus and purpose. Here's a third pointer. Make sure that it is God's will for you to fast. Don't just do it because you think, oh, you know, I'd like to try that sometime. But really make sure that it's God's will for you to fast. Does God want you to fast? Does God want you to abstain from food for a period of time? Why is God leading you to that? That's going to help you to figure out what your purpose is. Don't say, oh, well, you know, I have three friends who fasted, so I think I ought to try it. Well, have a more specific purpose than that. Be seeking after God and hearing from God. Make sure that it's God's will. Here's another suggestion that I came across, and I think this has a lot of merit. Keep a journal to record what God is doing during that fast in your heart. Writing down what God is doing. Some people suggest writing down specific prayer requests that you're going to be praying for so that you can look back later and see how God answered those prayers. And say, wow, look at what God did. And you can give praise to God then and magnify His name. All right. So fasting is not that complicated, actually. It's pretty simple. Most of us know what it is to go without a meal just because we got busy doing something and mealtime passed us by and we didn't eat. And that's somewhat of what fasting is. It's the idea that I'm so caught up in what is on God's agenda and getting a hold of God that I just don't have the time and energy to devote to making and eating food. All right. So that's the spiritual purpose that we have. Those are some pointers. Here's some problems real quickly. The first problem that comes to our attention in Matthew chapter 6 is that fasting is a stronghold of hypocrisy. Be careful. Because if you become somewhat successful at fasting, in other words, you get to the place where you can really do some fasting, you're going to start looking around at other people who aren't doing that, and you're going to start thinking, ah, man, I wish they're not any kind of a Christian like I am. Look at how much I fast. That's exactly what Jesus is addressing in Matthew chapter 6, isn't he? He said, here, when you guys go to fast, you hypocrites, you go out there and you make a big show of how miserable you are. You disfigure your faces. You have a sad countenance. You walk around, yeah, I'm so hungry because I'm fasting. So all you want is for everybody to know that you're fasting. And here's what Jesus said. You have your reward. Now, listen, if all you want is for people to know that you're fasting, then you have your reward. So people will notice and they'll say, wow, look at you, you're fasting. But that's not the purpose. See, the purpose is not for other people to notice. The purpose is to get into the presence of God. The purpose is for God to hear our prayer and to work on our behalf. So be careful about hypocrisy when it comes to fasting. Be careful that you're not doing it for the wrong reasons. A second problem with fasting is some people try to use fasting to manipulate God to do their will. So they have something that they want God to do, and they're going to fast, and they're going to say, see, God, I'm fasting. Now you have to do it. Well, you know, part of fasting is humbling yourself to come to a place of agreement with God's will. You might discover in a fast that what you came to ask God to do is not God's will at all. And you have to be willing to submit that to God. So, you know, fasting is not a way to get God's arm behind his back and make him do what you want him to do. Sometimes people have made this mistake too. They said, you know, I'm praying for this person to be saved and I've fasted and I've prayed and God hasn't saved them. Well, hold on a second. How does God work in people's lives? Does God force people to get saved? No, he doesn't. Now, if you're praying for that person, then it's reasonable to think that God is working in their heart, that God is working in their life, that God is answering your prayer by bringing about some circumstances, maybe other people across their path, bringing the Word of God to their memory. Many times you're not even going to know all that God is doing, but God is not going to force them to get saved. And so don't think, well, I fasted and they didn't get saved, so God didn't answer my prayer. No, that's not how it works, see. We do want to have God's power upon us, and we want to see God work in people's lives, and fasting is a legitimate way to do that. But fasting is not a way to twist God's arm and get him to do something that he doesn't want to do. A third problem of fasting is that some people can become, and I'm going to use the word legalistic very, very purposely here, can become legalistic about their fasting. And that idea of legalism, according to the Bible, is believing that what I do earns extra favor with God. So thinking, okay, because I'm doing this, this gets me extra points with God. He's really gonna, you know, look at me as his child now because I'm fasting. So be careful about that. But along with that, then people get really goofy ideas about fasting. They're like, you know, oh, well, can I take my vitamins? You know, because it's fasting. And what if, you know, I forgot and I put something in my mouth and I chewed it and swallowed it. Oh, no, I broke my fast. No. OK, listen, the spirit of the fast is abstaining from food. If you mistakenly took a bite of something without thinking, God's not going to look at you and say, boo, your fast is broken. I'm not going to answer your prayer. You see, that's not how God approaches this. That's not how we should approach this. Some people say, well, it's not fasting unless all you're doing is drinking water. Well, that's not true. That might not even be an appropriate fast for some people. That might be something that would not fit with their physical condition. That might not work for them. And so I think that God is understanding of these things, that he gives us some room. You see, the point is that I am going to abstain from some things in order to seek after God. So don't make it some kind of a rigid, like you got to follow all these rules to get the fast right. You know what that is? That's people saying, if I follow all the rules and cross the T's and dot the I's, then God will have to answer my prayer. And that's, again, going back to, you're not going to manipulate God through your fasting. See, what fasting does is it works in our heart more than anything else. A fourth thing that can be a problem with fasting, and I just want to mention this quickly, is there can be some physical and health concerns. And you could have a physical condition, for instance, diabetes. And you should consult with your doctor, and you should make sure that you're not going to harm yourself. If you have some other sort of physical condition that affects your digestion, that sort of thing, you're going to want to sit down with your doctor. And you might be pleasantly surprised, however, that there are many physical conditions which respond very favorably to fasting. Diabetes included, by the way. I recently read a book by a medical doctor who speaks in his book about controlling type 2 diabetes completely with the use of intermittent fasting. And he's not writing from a Christian perspective. He's a medical doctor. So don't just say, well, I have a medical condition. It won't work for me. I mean, really, go sit down and talk to your doctor and say, hey, this is something that I want to do. This is something that I want to, you might have a chance to talk to your doctor about the Lord too. And this is something that I want to do to honor the Lord. And is this something that I can do? Is there a way that I can find a way to do that? And you might be pleasantly surprised, but don't just go out there and say, well, pastor said we have to fast, and so I'm going to start doing that and end up in the hospital or something. That's what I'm saying. All right. I'm not giving you medical advice tonight. And if you need to get some medical advice before you try fasting, but also don't just say, well, I could never do that, because I think if you ask, you might be able to find a way to be able to fast. And maybe for you, maybe you can't. There are some legitimate reasons why people can't because of their health. But maybe there's some other things that you can fast from and seek God and say, Lord, I'm going to put this aside to seek after you and accomplish the same sort of result. So Jesus says, when ye fast. And in verse 18, notice this, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. You know, the most important person that we should fast for is God. This is This is a Godward action. This is something that we should say, I want to do this to please the Lord, to show the Lord that I want to crucify my flesh and I want to walk in the Spirit and I want to see His power manifested in my life. I believe that fasting is something that we ought to do more than we do. I'm ashamed to say that I have not fasted the way that the Bible speaks about fasting. I've done some fasting, but I've not done what the Bible speaks about completely. And you know what? That's a challenge to me. I want to change that in my life. I suspect that that may be true in your life as well. And I want us as a church to become a church that takes seriously this matter of fasting and prayer. Next week, we're going to talk a little bit more about fasting and some of the wrong motivations and some of the things that can sweep in a fast and get us off on the wrong foot. But I trust that'll be a blessing to you. I trust you've been challenged tonight. Go home, think about these things, and we'll say more about some challenges concerning fasting. But ask God and say, Lord, do you want me to consider doing this? Is this something that I should be involved in?